You guys appreciate last week's thing? Did it speak to you? Good, because I'm really passionate about this book called the Bible, this library of books. It is just it's the most important book I've ever read. I live by it. It shapes me. I read it every day. Meditate on it, you know, and it speaks life to me. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at inspiration. But this is part two. If you'd just like to do a little recap of what we did last week, for those of you who weren't here, can't do the whole lot, obviously. Thank you. Yeah. We'll have a go. We come with a little acronym, AIR, for the authority, the inspiration, and the revelation of Scripture. Three very important aspects to look at when we think about what is the Bible. Three very important parts or ways that it ministers to us. So last week we looked at our authority. We looked at the Bible being the supreme authority, but not the supreme authority in everything, but actually the authority when it comes to talking about the things of God, the things of faith, the things for living in the purposes of God, for living well. If you want to live a life in sync with what God is doing, then actually to read the Bible is really helpful because you get to know what God is up to, and you can then position yourself and line up with what God is already doing in the land and find your life being more fruitful. It's an authority to speak to our conduct. You know, I gave you a little illustration of how it shaped me, how it spoke to me about not using my tongue to cut people down. When we read the Bible, the things it speaks to our hearts about lustfulness, about pride, about anger, about jealousy, those are the things that shape us. And they war against our soul, and the Bible helps us to break free. It has an authority to set you free from those things, which is fantastic. We learned that it's not a science textbook. No matter how many good-meaning, well-meaning, posh, intellectual preachers might say so, never intended to be a science textbook. We've got lots of great science textbooks. I'd much rather read Stephen Hawking than the Bible if I want to know a bit of science. Not contradictory. It was never intended to be a battle there. It's not even a history textbook, although it has a fantastic history around the purposes of God and how he's working and bringing salvation to the world. And next slide. I had this, I told this really fascinating story, which has solved a problem that you carried with you for years, probably, about Daniel 5:29. Didn't it? It did, thank you. I was looking for confirmation there, because the Bible says that he was raised up, that Daniel was raised up to the third highest in the land. That's crazy, because the king should rise him up to the second highest. That's what always happens in all the stories, until we realize that this little drum seal was discovered, which talks about Belshazzar, the son of Nabonidus, being his co-regent, and therefore Daniel was raised up to the third highest in the land, and how therefore the Bible, although it was presumed to be wrong for hundreds of years by archaeologists and historians, when a little bit of archaeology was suddenly discovered, it backed it up. They had to rethink, and the Bible was actually proved to be very faithful, which is very encouraging. Next slide. So yeah, the Bible has an authority. It has an authority to shape us, to reveal God's mission, and help us to work and to walk with him. And is there another one on that? Or is that the... No, okay. And you know, that authority, when we understand that authority, we are then somehow empowered by that. Because there's an authority that comes from the Bible when it describes who God is and what he's up to, and who we are and what we should be up to. And when we live under that authority, all of a sudden we have we step into a kind of power. You know, a man does when he puts on a police officer's uniform and carries the badge. He steps into a kind of authority, comes under the authority of the law of the queen in that sense, but he then is empowered to go out and bring peace, to bring order. When we come under the authority that Scripture brings to us for our conduct, for the way we live, we're then empowered. We have that authority. And that's a wonderful, it's a beautiful thing. It's not a heavy thing which to tell people what to do. It's an authority to lay down our lives. Like Jesus set us the example, it's an authority to become a servant, an authority to represent heaven and to lay down our lives, but also to mend broken things. And this week, I had another example of that just this week. On Tuesday, We do a messy church over in Larchfield. It's called Larchfield Open Table. Once a month, we had, like you guys, a community lunch. We invite all members of the community who have kind of a free meal on us. We'll cook it. We'll serve it. We'll give them a little talk about the things of heaven and what might help them. Actually, this week they asked for a talk on bullying, so we gave them a talk on bullying and how God might help them in that, as well as some useful strategies to stand up against bullies. But at the end of the evening there, I saw this guy had his hand all strapped up and he was playing around, but obviously in a lot of pain. And I thought, wow, God's given me authority. I know that I have an authority to pray for the sick. So I said, look, God loves to heal. Can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, I'm desperate. Please, will you? So I said, can I hold your hand? And he said, what, you can do it now? I said, yes. So I gently just took hold of his hand and just said, look, be healed in the name of Jesus. And he immediately clenched his fist and went, oh. Showed his wife. And it was the first time he'd been able to clench his fist for 6 weeks. He damaged it karate chopping something when he's playing with his kids. But God healed him then. And the next morning, he spoke to one of the team leaders and said, my hand is still pain-free and I can clench my fist for the first time. See, the truth is, you, when you submit to the authority of Christ, when you actually come under the authority that's in the Bible, are empowered to do that kind of stuff. It's not for people like Vicky who are superheroes, people who are great Christians, people like, you know, who are someone like Andy, whatever. People who, it's not for just for you. Andy's a super intellectual thinker. Yeah. It's not just for the likes of Tom. This is for each one of us to walk into. If we walk humbly, like the Bible asks us to, if we walk humbly, but actually have an assurance that actually I am a child of God and he loves me. That's incredible to know. And Chloe, even as I look at you, you know you're called to walk in this stuff. You know it. God is taking you on that journey to gently learn to exercise authority, to mend things, to mend broken hearts, to mend broken bodies, to mend broken minds. That is your commission. That is you are authorized to do that. You have the badge and the uniform. You can't see them. They're invisible. But you have the badge and the uniform to mend brokenness. And God is committed to helping you learn that. But what he needs from you is that bravery to step out and practice. And push through even when you get it wrong. Because people will know that you love them. There's a love that comes across when you speak to people. When you communicate, they know they have your attention. They know that you care for them. And when that happens, you can speak as a representative of heaven and see mended thing, broken things mended. Okay, I didn't mean to say all that, but anyway, it's good. Can we have the next one? Oh yeah, 1 Timothy. Let's read a bit of scripture. 2 Timothy, you're right. I was completely asleep when I put these slides together. I got the heading one wrong and I got that one wrong. 2 Timothy. Has it just appeared? So you can sit, you speak, and it comes about. Forgive me, Lord. 2 Timothy. It's amazing. I found it the first time around I did this talk without noticing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Paul writing to his young protege, who he laid hands on, who'd circumcised as a young man. Ouch. Paul's amazing. He's so pragmatic. Circumcision wasn't even necessary. But actually, he didn't want to cause offense to the Jewish people that he knew he was going to talk to. So, I'll just get him circumcised. Do you imagine that? You know, if you were my protege, and I said, look, I want you to travel with me, right? I want you to travel with me. We're going to work with the Methodists, Andy, okay? You and me. We're going to go traveling around all the Methodist churches. The thing is, they have this quaint custom. Okay, but Paul is very pragmatic, so he loves this young chap, but he gets him circumcised just so he can take him with him on the journey. But later on, he's leading churches, he's planting churches, and Paul writes to him about scripture. And he says, "But you, Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, from him, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. I love that. If you want to be wise for salvation, if you want to understand salvation, if you want to know what it means to be saved, actually, turn to the Bible, because it actually has a lot of wisdom there for us. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, that's the root, of course. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or mature, fully grown up, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the purpose of Scripture. I love that. It's given to us as a gift to mature us, to equip us, to inspire us to good work. Next slide. Now, this is an interesting question. Now, I hope you guys like to ask questions. You do, don't you? Yes, Colin, just say yes. Thank you. And when you read the Bible, I hope you like to ask questions, because that's the way you get answers. That's the way that you find your own personal revelation. And even as I'm speaking now, that word is important to you. You know, you need a personal revelation, a personal encounter. And God is committed to revealing stuff to you personally, because actually he's made you someone who can pass on revelation. So it's important that you wrestle with the Scriptures. It's important that actually you break through with that. I didn't know your name, sorry. Sorry, Dora. Vix. Okay. Keep asking questions, because God's going to bring you through to a place of great breakthrough in your questioning, that you can help others to find a place of peace too. And I see that. I see quite a lot of people come into faith because of the questions that you've asked. So I like to ask questions. Okay. So the Bible, God, why did you give us the Bible the way you gave it? Because he's God, right? He can do whatever he likes. Let's face it. Yes, Colin. He can do whatever he likes. He chooses not to do quite a lot of things, which is quite irritating, that you'd like him to do. But he could have given us the Bible in all kinds of ways. And I think, why did you give it in the way that you did? Because, there could have been choirs of angels singing, heavens opened, and the Bible could have been handed down, couldn't it? Could have. We'd have known it was the Word of God then, wouldn't we? We'd have been certain. Some people might want that. It might be helpful. Why would that maybe not been helpful? You do need to wrestle with it. Absolutely, you do. Why might that not be helpful? Just to be handed down to us like that. Sorry? It leaves us out of the equation. It disempowers us. It lowers our kind of status and our role here on the earth. And God has made us rulers of this planet. So to lessen us like that would not be a good thing. I agree with you. Also, we're idiots, aren't we? I am, anyway. You might not be. But, we do stupid stuff. We worship golden calves, for goodness sake. We worship all kinds of idols. We'd end up worshiping the thing if it came down and peered out of heaven and was handed down to us. Guaranteed. Okay, what about dictated then? Surely God could have dictated the Bible to us. Actually, I was speaking on this subject and I mentioned it briefly in one of my Ignite talks over in Wimbledon. And one of the guys said, but it was dictated, wasn't it? I thought, no. God breathed does not mean dictated. I hope you know that. Yes. But so why wouldn't it be dictated? That surely would be a safe thing, wouldn't it? Have I lost you all? What are you thinking? If the person's writing it is shaping it, that's true. If they're just writing down what they've heard as a revelation or dictation, that's not true. You don't necessarily need to understand a dictation. Just write it down. So why didn't God do that? But that's partly the answer, of course, because he wouldn't understand it necessarily. Just a bit of information. What do I do with this? Doesn't make any sense. Also, you know, we probably would end up venerating those people that got dictated to as being super people, special people, that were somehow not like us. But God's not into that. You know, we're all his children. There's no second-class people in the world. We are all potentially children of God, made for communication, made to know him, made to live with him. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. 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 It does all of that. It does all of that. But at the same time, it's kind of crazy. What a way to trust your word. You know, people like Dan here, I'm just going to inspire him. I'm just going to breathe into him, you know, and he's going to write down what he feels like. That's a bit crazy. It's not very safe, is it? It's not a safe way of giving us his word. But that's the way that God chose to do it. So clearly, God was wanting to communicate something in the way that he chose to reveal his word, the way he chose to give it to us. There is stuff for us in that to learn. What's the next slide say? You see, the Bible is God-breathed, it's God-inspired, just like man. But Genesis tells us the story, God formed man from the dust of the earth. Now, that's not a science lesson. We know that. That's just a figure of speech. God formed man from the dust of the earth, and in a sense, we are the dust of the earth. And he breathed life into him. When he breathed his breath, his life into him, man became a living soul. And so the writing in itself in the Bible, you know, people's thoughts, their experiences, their revelations, their encounters. God breathes his life into those things and it becomes living words. They could have been just ordinary words written down, but because God breathed into them, he helped them. He helped them to wrestle with what was happening to them, is what my good friend over there was saying. You know, he helped the people that were experiencing those things to wrestle with them, to try and make some sense of them. In that wrestling, God breathed life into them, not just for them, but for us. Which is why they got written down and passed on. Because in the early days, it was passed on even not by being written down. People were just getting these encounters with God, strange things happening. They were having kind of horrible, sometimes, experiences, famine, war, enemies surrounding them, trying to do them out of stuff. And God stepping in and doing some crazy stuff to rescue them from lions or from evil kings or tyrants or nations coming against them. And they'd be praying and fasting and trying to see what's going on. And then they'd write the story afterwards. And God breathed into that writing the lessons that they learned from their experiences. It's not very mystical, is it? But that's what happened. So they had encounters, experiences, and revelations. And the stuff that they wrote down was the very best of wisdom that men had in for working out all the things that they experienced in life, the things that were really important, the really important encounters or experiences or revelations they wrote down and passed on so that we wouldn't have to relearn them. So the Bible contains a huge amount of wisdom of things pertaining to God and to his kingdom. It's a library of wisdom collected throughout 1,500 years or so, 40 different authors. Amazing. But not a very secure way of doing it. But God breathed his breath on each and every page because he wants to communicate something through the pages of the Bible to us. So when we understand that's the nature of the way that God inspired the word. It's not handed down. It's not dictated. Actually, it uses the stuff of life. You guys can all write inspired words because God used the stuff of life, the things that we go through, to inspire people with wisdom about who he is, how he acts, how he treats them, how he treats us, and what he's up to. So when we know that, words like infallible or inerrant or stuff like that, which we can get very religious about the Bible, can't we? Let's be honest, we can. And people use it in ways, they say, you know, to beat people up. They use words like inerrant, infallible, just to close down the argument. And God doesn't want to close down the argument. So he wants us to wrestle. He wants to see Jonathan wrestling with it. He wants to see us all wrestling with stuff. So words like infallible and inerrant are not very helpful. We don't use them. You never hear us use words like that. They're too religious. Actually, words we would use are trustworthy, reliable. You can base your life on this stuff. It's the highest in wisdom. Next slide, please. Thank you. And it's not an end to itself. This inspiration is really, it's an inspiration to inspire us. The Bible was God-breathed in order to breathe life into us. You know, God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways. When we didn't have the Bible, he spoke to us through creation, through the stars, through the planets, through the seas, through the mountains, through the trees. He speaks to us through the stuff of life. Through one another, he speaks to us. But one of the most clear ways that God will speak to us is through Scripture. Because God doesn't change. The kinds of things he said and did 2,000 years ago are the same kinds of things that he does and says today. So when we read Scripture, what we're doing is we're reminding ourselves of what God is like. Because let's face it, we're all a bit forgetful. And as we get older, some of us get more forgetful. So we always need to be reading Scripture in order to remind ourselves of who is this God? What is Jesus really like? What are the kind of things he used to do and say? Because they're the kind of things that he wants me to do and say. So we read it. And as we read it, we get inspired to copy, to become like him. So the Bible speaks to us. It's God's authority. It's an authority of God to speak to us about who he is. And one of the things it says, for instance, is do not fear. Now, the Bible has the words do not fear, or do not be afraid written in it over 100 times. So you can pretty clear about one thing. If you're not clear about anything else about God, about life, one thing you can be absolutely certain of, God, the maker of heaven and earth, wants you not to be afraid. And let's be honest. Let's be really honest now. There's a lot of fear in our lives. The enemy is always coming to bring fear, whether it's financial fear I'm not going to have enough, whether it's relational fear, do they like me, won't they like me, what are they doing, are they plotting against me, whether it's fears around health, you know, oh, I've got this pain, and maybe that's something serious, or maybe fears around my mind, you know, am I sick in the head, you know. The enemy will come with fear after fear after fear. And if we let it, the world feeds fear. You read our papers, you read the internet, it feeds fear. But if you want to speak against fear, read the Bible, because God will come in and say, I love you. I'm proud of you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. He says that again and again and again, because he wants us to live without fear. Because when we live in fear, we don't live too well. You know, even this year, I've lived with a bit of fear in my new role, not quite sure of who I was, and my team have told me I've not behaved so well. And it's true, I've not behaved so well because I've been living in fear. I've got to shake it off. I've got to get rid of it. Life is too short to live in fear. None of us lives well when we're afraid. We get defensive. We react. We get short. We've got to step out of fear and confidently know who we are in Christ, that we can live healthy lives. Because he's going to look after us. And, you know, to hear the voice of God is one of the greatest privileges that we can ever have. And the Bible, because it tells us what the kind of things God says, we get to hear God's voice. We get to hear God's voice. And God wants to take you, Emily, on that journey because there's a prophetic gift and call on your life. And I see you, when I speak that out, I see it in the spirit. God has gifted you that because he wants you to be able to speak his will, to represent him to people. And that sounds scary, to represent heaven, But it's not when you're a lover. When you know that God is love, you're representing love, it's not so scary. And you're going to be a prophet who prophesies out of that place of knowing that you're loved and knowing that you're a child of a secure place. So you're going to bring health through what you prophesy. The things that you speak are going to be spoken in gentle ways, but they're going to carry a weight because you know that you're loved and that the lover of your soul also loves the person you're speaking to or the community that you're prophesying into. So he wants you to be bold in that. Okay. Lord Jesus, you know, I probably told you this story. I've only got so many stories. I can't keep, you know. But for me, this was a massive journey, this journey into discovering that actually God speaks to me. Did I tell you that story? When I was a young man, you know, reading the Bible, I loved it. And when people used to get up and say, God says this, I was really impressed. I thought, wow, they've got a hotline to God. God speaks to them. And they confidently get up and say, God says this. And I think, oh, I'd love to have that. Absolutely love to have that. And then, of course, over the years, I realized they weren't always right. And what they meant was, I believe that I've just had a revelation, or I've got this thought that's come to me, which I believe is from God. Because thoughts can come from different places. They can come from us, they can come from God, or they can come from the devil. You know, they come from the spirit. So, and over time, you can learn to discern. But all that takes far too long to say every time we get up and say to, we just say, God's saying this. But that's what we mean. And so as a young man, you know, I would pray and I'd read the Bible and God would speak to me. So I read the Bible one day and there's a story about a young couple being promised a kid within a year. And as I was reading it, all of a sudden my mind was yanked from the Bible page to my friends who'd been wrestling with struggling to have kids for 8 years. Have I told you that story? And so I know right inside that God has spoken to me. They're going to have a kid within a year. And I am really excited. I'm going to phone them up and tell them. But it was 11 o'clock at night, so I wrote it down. Picture you're going to have a kid. On a yellow post-it note, slap it on my bedside table. Great. I'm going to tell them. Go to bed, sleep the sleep of the righteous. And wake up the next morning, and I think, you know, was that God or was that? I'm not 100% sure. I'll wait until the evening. But you know, if God has spoken to you about something, whether it's something He wants you to do to bless someone, or something He wants you to give up, or something He wants you to start, you know, then the very next thing that happens is that someone will come along and say, "Did God really say?" Because that's what the enemy does. He's a slanderer, he's an accuser. That's what he does. That's his job. He tries to rob it. Because if he can rob it, it robs the power of God's word to your life. He robbed that word from me. Every day I would come in from work and look at this yellow post-it note gathering dust and think, God spoke to me. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not sure. And one day it's so dusty and I thought, just threw it in the bin. But within a year, 18 months, but just about, it was within a year. Within a year, there's the other story with 18 months. Within a year, they had a baby girl, Stephanie. And I knew that God spoke to me. You see, that makes you dance. When you know that God speaks to you, that's a game changer. That is a game changer. But this is not for super Christians. This is for every one of us to know. And to learn to grow in. But one of the best ways we can do that is by reading Scripture. Because when we read Scripture, we read the things that God does and says. And He still does and says the same things. Well, I've said that enough times now. Because that's what He does. And when we read Scripture, that's an insecure place to adventure from. When you've read lots of things that God has done and said over a period of time, you kind of get a feel for what He's like. You can almost imagine what He would do in a situation. So you know when you come across a sick person who says, look, I'm really struggling, I've got pain, you know, whatever, you say, hey, if God was here, what would He do? I know what He would do. He'd want to heal you. So I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray? It's a secure place to adventure from. If God was here and He wanted to speak a word of life over this man, what would He say? Because that's what he would do. He would speak life. He wouldn't want to bring condemnation. Actually, he would want to speak life over you so that you would grow. You become all that you're intended to be. It's fantastic. It's a really safe place to adventure from. And last, that's the last slide you'll be pleased to hear. This is a picture of someone walking into their destiny. Because what the Bible does in its God-breathedness, in the way that God has spoken through it, is it calls us into our destiny. It calls us individually into our destiny, because God speaks to us about what he wants us to do as we read the Bible. But it calls us as a nation, as nations, as the world, as creation into our destiny as we read it and understand all the wonderful things that God has in store for us. It inspires us. It calls us forwards. You know, again, as a young man, I used to read the Bible a lot. I read through the whole of the New Testament in just a couple of months. Devoured it. I was reading it every day under my desk at work and couldn't put it down. It was like drinking you know what it's like when you drink a cold drink on a hot day and you can feel it go all the way down, all the way inside and refresh the inner parts. It was like that with the scripture, with the Bible. It was really feeding me. And then I ran out of New Testament. I thought, what shall I read now? Oh, I know. I'll go back. Psalms, someone said. I read the Psalms. Proverbs, great. What a lot of fun. Ecclesiastes, that's a bit strange. Isaiah, okay. Jeremiah. You said it. After I'd been a Christian 5 months, I was depressed. And I'd lost the joy. I knew that God loved me, and I got saved, and I knew that he'd spoken to me, filled me with his Holy Spirit, and I was full of joy, singing songs, hugging everybody. Still do that now. And, yeah, but I got depressed, and I thought, I haven't changed, this is terrible. And the enemy was right, I hadn't changed that much. I was still just me. And I went to my pastor, and I said, look, oh, I'm depressed. And God gave him a word of wisdom for me. He said, Colin, what are you reading? I said, Jeremiah. He said, stop it. That's the word of the Lord to some of you guys. Some of you guys are wrestling with stuff actually you shouldn't be wrestling with in Scripture. There's a time and a season to wrestle with things. And I was too young to wrestle with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a sumo wrestler. I was just a baby. Jeremiah was beating me up and all over the place. I was getting completely flawed. Yeah, so I had to go. He said, go back to reading the Gospels. So I went back and reread the New Testament. And immediately, my joy returned. That's crazy. Why did it affect me that way? But I was getting life from the Scriptures. They were inspiring me. But then I was at a conference and praying. And someone was praying for the Holy Spirit to come. And I thought, ooh, what's going to happen now? Because that sounds scary, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit's going to come. The Holy Ghost. And I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect. No, I'd never been in a meeting when someone's prayed that. I felt all tingly. A bit, maybe that was fear. And then I felt the words come to me. Ezekiel 3:17. And I'd never read the book of Ezekiel. It's quite a strange book to read, to be honest. And I thought, has it got chapter 3? I don't know. Has it got a verse? Let's look. So I got out my Bible and had a quick look. And in that, it said, Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, give them warning from me. And I had a feeling, okay, that God was saying to me that I should give myself to church. He wanted me to be a watchman in the house of Israel, to be a leader in his church. And I shared that with my friends and my pastor, and they said, yeah, I think that's true. So I knew I had a calling to church. God had spoken to me directly. I never even knew that verse was there, but God gave me that impression, and I read it, and it spoke to me, it shaped my destiny. I don't have to read it. I can quote it to you. The reason I can quote it to you is I've read it, and when I felt miserable and low and rubbish, which I often do, I read it, and God speaks to me, saying, yeah, you're a watchman in the house of Israel. It shapes me. It calls me forward into my destiny. Without it, I would lose hope. But I know that God has spoken that word over me. And the beautiful thing about God, he doesn't just say it once, he says it again. So 15 years later, I'm still struggling to work out how God is going to make me a watchman in the house of Israel. And I get this opportunity to do a theology course. The first week of this theology course in London, the same guy who prayed for the scary man, who prayed for the Holy Spirit to come down, was in the room leading it. And then we're all praying. And one guy gets up and says, I have a word of God for us all in the room, that God is saying this over everybody. Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. And so God confirmed his call to me at the very time I'd given up my career to step into church leadership. God is incredibly, amazingly gracious to us. He knows we're weak. He knows I am very weak. You guys aren't as weak as me. He will give you what you need. But we need to help. We need to help. You know, and this is where, you know, the word, this word is alive to us. It says in Hebrews, as we read it, it reads us. It shapes us. It speaks to us. But when we read it, we've got to do something. We've got to act on what we read. See, the thing is, the enemy will come and steal it away if we don't. The inspiration that the Bible will give us, brings to us, we get excited when we read. If we don't act on it, the enemy comes and robs it. So in those early days, writing it down on a bit of paper was enough for me to remember. I saw it every day for a month or two. That was enough for me to remember that God spoke to me. That's not enough these days. I have to do something more. But whatever it is, whatever you do when God speaks to you, act on it. So if he's calling you, if you think, actually, I need to get in contact with a friend, do it. You may not know why, but do it. If you feel during the middle of the day, actually, you need to pray for someone, pray for them. Actually, stop what you're doing. Make a conscious effort to act. If you feel like God is asking you to buy a gift for someone, don't wait for confirmation. Just go and do it. Test your relationship with God. You know, he will speak to you as you read scripture. As he does, just act on it. And we get to learn what is and what isn't his voice. But if we don't ever act on it, we will never learn. Because it's not at the end of the day the Bible that leads us into all truth. The Bible is not the truth book. It contains an awful lot of truth, but it's not the truth book. You know what leads us into all truth. It's God himself, the Spirit of God, it says. The Holy Spirit, that same scary spirit that the guy prayed for. He's not scary at all, he's quite friendly. But it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. But if he's going to lead us into all truth, he needs us to help him. And one of the ways we help him lead us into all truth is by reading scripture. So that we get inspired. God breathes life into us through the word that he breathed life into in previous generations. So we can start from scratch and learn all the lessons from us for ourselves. But why? Why do that when we can learn so much about who he is and what he likes and what he doesn't like by reading the scriptures? God wants to shape your life to the most beautiful, fruitful thing it could ever be. And Billy, so I think we've come to the end of the inspiration. We never come to the end of inspiration. But I hope your appetite has been whetted to read scripture, to be inspired by the words that were inspired for us. Not as a religious duty, but just as a life-giving thing, which is what scripture is. Life to every one of us. Read it. Find a space for it in your life. I beg you. I absolutely beg you, because God will speak to you through it. And when God speaks to you through it, you are blessed. Joy comes, healing comes, life comes, laughter comes, freedom comes. Come on. Lord Jesus, you know, and as I know that there are guys facing some big decisions in this room. And I want you to now to be bold. If you are facing a big decision and you need God to speak into that, I want you to stand. Because that's just a prophetic thing that God is doing right now. Because he wants to speak to you. Okay? And I just want to pray that as you read scripture, as you go from this place, that as you read scripture, the Holy Spirit, God himself, is going to speak to you in ways that deep inside your inner core that you know that you know that you know that this is the next step for me. Because there's a huge amount of peace that comes when we know that. So, Father, I just want to pray for these guys that have stood. Thank you for your promise to guide us, Lord God. Not strongly, not with a bit and bridle, but with your word, with your eye. And I just pray for these guys that have stood, that they would know the inspiration of your Spirit in their lives today to help them to live well tomorrow, to live in the fullness of life that you have for them tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that promise that you said you would do that for each one that stood this morning, that you would speak to them, deep into their knower, deep into their heart, about the steps they need to take to guide them to the most fruitful place for the next season of their lives. Lord God, thank you for the things they're wrestling with. Speak to them as they read your word, Lord Jesus. Your word that's alive, inspired to inspire us, given life to bring life to us. Speak to them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And for all of us, Lord God, I want to pray for a fresh excitement about your word to fill our hearts, a fresh hunger to read the things you've used to do and say in order that we may know what you're like and live better with you, to walk more humbly with you in these days, to walk more fruitfully with you in these days. Help us all, Lord God, to know you better as we read scripture, to hear your voice for ourselves and for our friends and for our families and for our neighbors, that we may be the priests you've called us to be, bringing your presence wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.